We're good? Okay, Kevin, good.
All right, good morning, everyone. It is Thursday, July 18, 2024. It is 11:05. I'd like to call the Leon County Research and Development Authority Executive Committee meeting to order. First item is introduction of guests. We have none. Second item, approval of participation. We don't need that. Item number four, modifications to the agenda. Anyone? Hearing none. Michael or Heine, did we receive any public comment?
We did not.
Item number six, I assume everybody's had a chance to review the draft meeting minutes. Any edits? Hearing none.
I'll move it.
Okay.
Second.
They've been properly moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous. Item number seven, Treasury report.
Mr. Chair, we continue to see our cash erode about $25,000 a month so far. You can go back to April and then look at May and then look at June. In April, we had $1,554,000. May, it had fallen to $1,527,000. June, it had fallen to $1,504,000. So just to update you, it continues to, as we have projected, to fall apart. Maybe that's not the right word, but to at least decrease significantly. We don't have any 90-day past dues that are concerning. All that looks good. Just keep an eye on cash flow.
Any questions for our treasurer? Michael and I thank you for being diligent in your keeping a sharp eye on our cash flow process. I know you guys do a great job. Anything else on that item? All right, let's go to item 7B.
Just a reminder, everybody, we have maxed out the line of credit with FSU. We submitted the certificate of occupancy, so under the terms of that existing line of credit, our first payment is actually due interest only, which will be June of next year, would be the first payment due under those terms, because it's 1 year from CO, and then a year later, it's principal payment obligations under that. That's currently structured.
Okay.
All right. I'm still projecting, notwithstanding what David said, to end the year, fiscal year, kind of around $1.5 million in cash is where I think we'll end. As if we liquidate all of the buildings, some of our burn will go up a little bit, which then we'll get to the transfer. Liquidate's the wrong term. We'll go up a little bit, but I still think that's where we're going to end up. We're doing some repairs. I got a couple of air conditioners some of you guys approved on the that we had to fix. We've got another problem in Collins. We're fixing our ceiling, the grid that's fallen down. So there's just the standard ongoing. If you recall, we had $350,000 in the CapEx budget. We're probably closer to 100 so far this year. But again, that's not because we're just holding off stuff. We're just fixing what comes up. I don't know what's coming up over the next 90 days with no trees and it really hot. We may have more air conditioner challenges.
So at the beginning of the fiscal year in our budget, what did we anticipate our end of year cash to look like? Does anybody know that?
Off the top of my head, I don't know, but I think it was probably around $1.6 million, maybe. So,
okay.
So we're absolutely ballpark. Maybe actually it was less because I had a much more expenses, frankly. I was just thinking on the RDA side. But remember, I had a huge amount of expenses associated with this lab that we didn't pick up until much later. If you look on the Treasury, this first page of the Treasury report, we're running about almost $600,000 ahead of budget in terms of where we thought we'd be. So again, we are consuming cash, which was always going to be the deal. But we're going to give some of that back over the next 3 months. But yeah, we're going to be $500,000 ahead of where we thought we'd be in terms of financials.
Excellent. Okay.
So, which buys us a little runway. But we're just getting a feel right now for utility bills here at this building. We're probably still talking $20,000 a month based on what we've seen. You know, yard maintenance. I mean, there's all sorts of just expenses that should have been no labor.
Okay. Very good.
Again, just to remind you guys, I know I mentioned this, that we're working on our budget for 24 to 25, that the beta assumptions to remember are, the presumption is that the legacy buildings will all be outside of our scope between now and the end of September, and that the NFDA lab will be outside, we transferred prior to 12/31. That is the foundational assumptions we're going to make in terms of how we budget. So when we share that at a budget committee meeting and a subsequent board meeting, unless something dramatically changes between now and that day, that's the assumptions we're going to make for how we present the financials and our cash consumption, more importantly.
Did we get enough yeses for the proposed budget committee date to firm that up?
I believe so, but I'm guessing a little bit there, David. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's on my calendar. for that meeting. Yeah, so I think that we're fine.
Okay.
You guys, I think Kevin and Dave saw that we moved $464,000 out of our prime account a couple of weeks, maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, moved into the construction account, and we used that to pay off Culpeper and to pay off L&W. The reason for that is as we submitted our final request from the EDA, we think our person, maybe their first week that's helping us now, she seemed unclear on whether we had to have everything paid off, whether we had to have just spent enough money to justify the reimbursement. I made the decision not to go to war for 6 weeks figuring that out. She represented to us that if we sent her proof that we were fully paid off, they would fund the 1.2. So made that we were gonna pay it anyway at some point. So my expectation, I was hoping to have the money and tell you guys we got the 1.2 today or this week, which we have not, but we also haven't heard any more problems. She had once or twice told us these are things you need to do, which we did within 24 hours. So as soon as we get that 1.2, I'll move the 464 back to the prime account. That'll still leave us $700,000 or $800,000 in operating funds for now.
Excellent wisdom and discernment in that. Thank you for
We could have won the argument, but then I could have lost 6 weeks to get the reimbursement right. So it just wasn't worth it.
And there'd probably be a new EDA.
Yeah, and to Bill's point, yeah, I could be dealing with a brand new person. Because we were like, she goes, well, you could just, I'll pay you part of it. And I said, well, my understanding is you only got 5 reimbursements. She goes, I'm not sure about that. Okay, I'm unwilling to run the risk of when we're not sure, right? So anyway, that was what I had on the under the financials and treasury, guys. Bill, on the IPTLH punch list, what's open?
A handful of things. Air conditioner, there's a couple leaks.
Mostly from the air conditioner.
Okay. Yes.
Not from the building.
Right, exactly. Some doors and keys and just a handful of things.
Just a little bit, a bunch of pumps.
Yeah, probably the most aggravating is the air conditioner.
Yep, because they're cutting on and off and we got a leak or two from air conditioning vents. Yeah. It's not Culpepper's problem, it's the manufacturer problem, but you got to get laying out here. Anyway, so we're just
and there have been other things that cleaned up. I think Michael's went to wash his hands and it was stuck up the tape and just fell over.
Yeah, the thing you pull the paper towel from, it was just literally like, I put it up there like in a hurry, right? It taped to the wall, and if you guys look in there, those walls aren't even smooth. They've got a ripple texture to them, so of course it wasn't going to hold. Yeah. And so they said, that's the way it was spec. All right, did the guy hanging it say, hey, this is dumb? No, apparently not. He put it up with the tape spec, I guess. Nobody showed me that.
Installation. But
yeah, exactly. It's kind of it's literally my shoddy work type stuff. Product. But you do in the dorm when you know toothpaste in the holes and you tape shit back up when you move out of your first apartment, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, don't. That should be
a few other things that have been cleaned up since then. They're part of a wall here buckled, so they reattached that probably with tape.
We'll see. We'll know soon enough.
It wasn't the roof, was it?
No. It was decorative. I think because the air conditioner failed and the humidity.
Yeah. Just a reminder on the appropriation that we got from the state. We have received all but $49,000 of that $1.5 million. The request for the last $49,000 went in yesterday. I don't anticipate any problem, and we'll be fully funded. We actually have about $700,000 of that still in the bank right now. We're finishing up some AV work we've got to do, and then the next phase is we're going to do some conversions of two labs downstairs so that they're biosafety too. We're going to bring in eyewash. We're also going to seal the floors that we talked about. We had doing through Culpeper. Probably going to be a $40,000 deal, and it's seal the cracks rather in the floors.
Right.
We're working with FSU on the process for that, and so we're paying for it. They may help with that, maybe not, but there'll be a number of other projects that they'll probably take the lead on and we'll fund with the FF&E money.
Okay.
And we'll take a bite at equipment, and we're working with FSU on that.
That's right.
Okay, good.
I already mentioned that the EDA final request has gone in. We don't have it yet. Also attached to your materials you got were one document is the MOU we signed with FSU the other day. I signed two things with them 2 weeks ago. One was an MOU that they'll basically operate this lab on our behalf until there's a transfer. The second was a lease agreement for 5 offices, basically, here in this building for FSU to occupy space and have the rights to occupy the space again until a transfer at zero charge, right? They're operating the lab. They're funding these positions 100%. So they're going to take over the marketing, the screening, the client selection, all of those things. Bill and I sat through a meeting with a couple of folks from the research group. talking about the process and the forms they're setting up and how they're going to drive this. They've interviewed and I think extended an offer maybe to a lab manager. They've engaged in a marketing person. So they're hiring up, they're involving Bill and I in all these interviews to the extent we're interested to meet the people. Anyway, so they're moving, doing it. It's going to go slower than we want, but it's moving.
You said that they're fully funding. How much of our build to scale plot is
at this point, zero. That is not part of this exercise. Remember, build to scale has not been, we haven't even had those conversations with the EDA yet. Yeah. The way this process is going to work on the EDA is as soon as we get that million two, my plan is to have Melissa Van Sickle, our general counsel, reach out to the lawyer she worked with on the original transaction and more specifically the note to FSU because that was an EDA thing and the question came up literally in emails, what happens if we don't pay? And then if the RDA didn't pay the FSU loan, the FSU folks confirmed they could foreclose on the building, take the property subject to all of the EDA funding requirements. The other option would be just to pay the EDA back. But if the EDA represented that if FSU just took over and did the reporting and ran the lab like it was intended to be, that loan will be forgiven over whatever it is, 7 years, 9 years, I can't remember exactly. Yeah. And so FSU, we already understand that process, but I've got to initiate that conversation. Once that conversation is rolling, and we'll get an initial read kind of on how that process will work, we will then go and have different part of EDA, of course, on the build to scale. There's no reason to have the build to scale conversation why we would be the owner of the building. It's precipitated on the fact that we have to now be talking about a transfer of the building. Then the build to scale conversation would make sense. It wouldn't make sense absent that. So that's the sequence that we're working on right now.
Okay.
So hopefully we get reimbursed, and then I intend to have Melissa call those folks, and she's well aware of that literally within days of us getting that reimbursement. Okay? Any questions on that with FSU? That is underway, and we were kind of operating, frankly, in that framework before the MOU was really, they were already moving. They weren't waiting on the MOU to be signed. We did it to paper it up and, frankly, protect everybody that they had right to be in the building tenant-wise. Any questions on that?
Nope.
Okay, LCRDA operations. I did submit on July 2nd or 3rd, I forgot the exact date, probably the 2nd, to the DEP, the request to transfer six parcels. They're all the Knight building, the Collins building, and this parcel over here that goes to FAMU. And then I also requested Johnson, Morgan, and Phipps properties. And it really, this was all done by parcels. I'm using the IDs of the buildings, we call them. But as far as DEP is concerned, it's a parcel number. So I submitted those requests. Went back and forth a little bit with Brad. He needed some more stuff this week on leases, but my expectation is that process is happening. He hasn't asked me for anything else, and he will some point, I don't know if he has yet, reach out to FSU and FAMU respectively and say, hey, these parcels are available. I didn't get to direct traffic via those documents and say, hey, these are going to FSU. He's well aware of the MOU. I did name the two files. One says FSU, one says FAMU, but if you were to open the files and look at the documents, there's no reference inside there to any particular party. It just refers to the parcels. And I've sent them all the leases for all the buildings too. And I assume that they're filling a file, frankly, on how they move through this process.
Right.
I was hopeful that would be done by the end of this month. I am less hopeful, being that today is the 18th.
I know that Brad Richardson and Dustin Daly have had conversation in the last 48 hours, and that everything is moving along well with the lease assumption or assignment on the university side because the government services and all of that is.
And it could take 2 years to get an estoppel from the GSA.
I
can't hold anything up.
They are implementing a process that FSU has done previously on a building that we acquired where we acquired many leases like that, and so it's a process that's known and it's working.
Yeah, and we're moving through it. And again, frankly, just to remind everybody, and I'll do this at the board meeting too, the reason we started with these, obviously those are all the legacy buildings, but it's also the easiest one that's inside the delegation authority that the DEP has. As we move through Danfoss, we moved into Avalanche, we've got ground leases as opposed to tenant leases for space, that's gonna require a different level of authority. Obviously the lab, we've got the EDA involved. So, and then you've got roads and ponds ultimately too, which now the city's involved in some way because they have easement rights. So we're going to go through the easy to hard is the plan to move through these processes. So,
well, it's also most important or least important.
Well, I think it is. And the ones we can control the most. Yeah. Remember, I can get these done. The lab one, we have to have the EDA. There's a process for those guys that's going to take time.
And so the ball then is in Brad's court,
yes,
to respond back to you.
Or you guys. He may not respond to me until he's actually gotten FSU wants to do this, FAMU wants to do this, and tells me, hey, this is the date it's going to transfer. That's what I'm waiting on.
Okay.
Because he has not expressed anything else. I sent him all of these.
He's the counsel for DEP.
He's the chief. He's a bureau chief.
Yeah, he's a bureau chief. Yeah.
Okay.
So, leasing update briefly. Career Source did give their notice. They're going to move out August 30th. Remember, they were on a 60-day notice two-way. We got an extra almost
6 months
out of those guys. They do want to keep one little office downstairs in Morgan, which I said that's fine, but it's going to be on a 30-day two-way termination, just like everything else. And so they were fine with that. We've executed that. FSU did lease the balance of the space we had in Johnson and Morgan for $18,000 a month starting June 1. They'll terminate that obviously as soon as they, now FSU and Kyle really have an incentive to move to make this. They're not going to be the slowdown obviously on the transfer. And then MagCorp asked for another office in Collins, which I agreed to again on 30-day termination notice. They're optimistic that FAMU is going to let them stay, and I don't want to predict that, you know. And that, although Dale Wesson did ask me when I talked to him the other day, he was in our building. He goes, "Well, let's go ahead and terminate all these guys." And I said, "You don't own the building yet, man. So we'll do. I'll talk to you when it transfers. Then you guys can decide." I don't think they're going to move as fast as they think they're going to move, so they may let people stay. And I just didn't want to. Right. I didn't want to lose that. Frankly, I didn't want to upset our existing tenants. I didn't want to lose a little bit of revenue prematurely. Mm-hmm. We're still working on this park cleanup and insurance issues. We had a bunch of stuff done on the roofs and scans, and we're supposed to get an engineering report about how they proposed to solve it. I think they thought we were jonesing really hard to replace all the roofs, and I told them this week, I said, I just want it so it doesn't leak and it's not some half-ass fix, frankly. I just don't want to throw some tar up there. I want it fixed so it's not a problem. I'm not asking that if it needs a new roof, and that's a conversation we need to have, but if it doesn't, just tell me how we're going to solve it. So, and we haven't had any real intrusion since related to the storm. We've had a couple, you know, we've got our normal routine stuff that we deal with all the time, but we've still got all the soffits all the way opened up, and so there's humidity getting in just because we don't have the buildings all buttoned up waiting for them to come in and tell us what we can do. Same with the pond. We've engaged FEMA. We were approved to be in the FEMA system. We have to get a denial from our insurance company about the pond work because it was... The work around the ponds is brutal. If you guys take a look over there, they drove some big stuff in there to get the trees down, which really widened the trails, and now you've got stumps in the trail. I mean, and so the question is, do we got to bring it back to what was originally approved when it was built? So that's what we're working on.
Going back one level, when we walk through
Sliger,
was it Sliger that you where the roof, where the roof tile or the ceiling tiles were?
That was Sliger.
Okay. Remember, so that's not part of your conversation.
And that has since been cleaned up. I was in there not that long ago.
Okay.
All that's been cleaned up.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh, this is going to be a mess. I was about to show somebody. They're like, I was like, oh, man. Kevin and I were here last week. It was crap everywhere. So anyway, at least that's there where it was all cleaned up.
Okay.
Yeah. We've got an upcoming vacancy on the board. Brian Batista, I think I mentioned, is not going to renew on the board. But I believe Kathleen Am has put her name in the hat.
Kathleen has said that she would be glad to serve. We have informed her how to make that happen.
And I believe she's applied.
She's done
everything. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's in that same exercise that the county's going to go through. And I think that, interestingly enough, like Mike Campbell's on that committee. You're on that committee. So they get to vote on Kathleen.
Kathleen's cool. On that committee.
Well, she'll have to recuse herself, sure. I assume.
Or maybe she just recuses herself for her own vote, I guess.
Yeah, for that vote, of course. But we, I don't. As far as I know, we don't have anybody else that's expressed any formal interest.
When will that take place? When will we have her on board?
I don't know the answer. It's the board term would begin October 1.
And I'm still waiting to hear when the
meeting is
to review the applications.
It's usually right before the turnover. Real two or three weeks before.
The last thing I have is officers. For fiscal 24 to 25 right now. Kevin is wrapping up his third term. This will be a board issue, but I think the exec's got to kind of at least have a, how do we want to approach that at the board meeting? Tom is the vice chair, so if it passes, probably right, vice chair would slot in. We've got to identify a new vice chair. Treasurer, we got to just re-up on the treasurer, assuming you're willing to do that, David.
Each time I say it, I think we're only going to be doing this one more year. But... I'm willing to go one more year.
Okay.
I asked the question a week ago whether or not the progression of vice chair to chair is part of our bylaws. It is not.
It is
my,
not.
My request to you, would you desire to take?
I'll do it.
Thank you.
I'm with you on about a year, though.
Yeah, that's right. And remember, exec will still be made up then of you, Kevin, David, and we don't have a past chair right now because that was Kim. So we will have a vice chair, a chair, past chair, and treasurer. That'll still be the exec committee.
Who should be the vice chair?
I don't know, guys. You tell me who you think would be willing to do it. I don't know if the electeds will do it. You like a Rick or a John?
Ann would be good.
Ann would be good, I think.
Mm-hmm. Because she went through all the history once before. And
yep.
If she'd be willing to do it. And if you guys would like, I'm happy to reach out to Ann, and obviously then anybody could throw their hat in the ring.
Just throwing that out.
But I don't know. You guys tell me.
Free legal counsel.
I think she'd be perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping she'll do.
That would be great.
Okay, I'll reach out to her. And that was what I had on the RDA stuffs. I'm a little new business when we get there. Huh?
Any other questions for Michael on item number 9?
You know, I guess this could be under 9. Any fallout from Robinson's?
Not that I'm aware of. You know, I mean, remember, he signed it, but he's staying. Start with that for the near term, right? He's going back into a professorship kind of position. Obviously, Dale Wesson, Dean of the College of Engineering. I mean, those guys want this space real bad.
Right.
So I've got no. I know Allison, the provost, is interested in this. But so everybody I've talked to, their new COO guy, they're all interested. I have not heard anything to suggest, and I assume Shantae would have given me some heads up if that was different.
Okay. And then secondly, I know sometimes it's easier to get legislative funding after you got it. Is there anything that we should be doing right now to try to get a couple hundred grand from the legislature?
I don't know what that would be, right? That's a very fair question.
Yeah, I have an opinion, if I may.
Sure.
And I think we should work with FSU to get the redundant equipment that we cut out of the building, the second fan system, the second boiler, just because, you know, it's sustainable. It makes the building more sustainable because the fan system goes down. And
that was about, that was about $500,000, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That would be.
Were you talking about building specific or RDA specific and fund our operation?
Anything. I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah.
I just know, I mean, from what I've seen, the second round, the second bite's a lot easier than the first bite, especially if it's a lot less money.
So.
And remember, ours came through TCC, Department of Education. I would be a little sensitive to making requests right now while everything is in flux. I don't know if that's...
I wonder if Brian could at least guide us on something.
I could have a conversation with Brian about
that. Yeah, that might be
because
who's
requesting it, and am I the... we've got to be sensitive to how that gets moved around.
Right.
And,
yeah, specifically, if it's funding that will go to support this facility, and this facility by the end of this year, and certainly by the beginning of the legislative process is anticipated to be under FSU's ownership, then it's going to compete with every other legislative request that FSU has. All that is going to go through Clay Ingram, which it's not a bad idea to ask the question, mm-hmm. understanding that he will be the gatekeeper of whether or not something is going to be included in FSU's.
But I was thinking more to the extent of if the RDA wants to try to seek out there's economic development opportunities or funding that might exist to that end. Now, that's really contingent a little bit, and Ray Bai is going to have a different opinion on that, as you guys would guess, at our next board meeting, as he promised to do so. So that's really a board discussion to pursue something like that.
Yeah, the other thing would be a machine shop, but I agree with you. This would be FSU, you know.
Yeah, it's FSU. That's FSU.
Make it into their plans. Because we don't, you know, UF buys $1 million in lab equipment every year, so we'll have a good bite at it. But I'm sure the VPR will want to refresh that at some point. But as you said, it's FSU's deal.
Good. Any new business?
The only things I want to bring up for you guys is that we've had an inquiry about building a building or leasing dirt and two people to build a manufacturing facility here in Tallahassee, and they want to be near the park, they want to be near the airport, they want to be near I-10. The only site we really have as the RDA to consider would be Eisenhower. Again, the this becomes kind of a long-term thing. Do we want to be aggressive? I represented that I thought the board would be receptive to a long-term lease. You know, I can forget what happens to that lease and that ownership later. We do own that parcel fee simple. And we'd be willing to forego the first year or two of rent while somebody built a building. And then we would want fair market value for the dirt for the balance of that term or whatever we cashed out at some point if a developer would build kind of warehouse space. It's clean manufacturing. It's Residential Elevators is the name of the company. They've got 300 employees around the country, maybe 100 nearby Crawfordville and in Cairo. They are literally making 60 to 70 elevators a week. They're all custom. And they do it out of what is basically a neighborhood in Crawfordville that is really unhappy with them, and semis coming in every and getting packages delivered. I mean, they can't run but one shift because they got to be quiet at 7 o'clock. They would like to be closer to airports. They distribute all over the country, but primarily Florida. But it's really cool. Sue Dick and I toured their facility. What I liked most about it, got the engineering school right here. They're using all sorts of technology. They're making stuff. So there's carpentry, there's paint, there's electrical.
CNC machines.
There's all of that stuff. And the fact that they crank out what they do all over the country. And they really, a lot of their talents, Crawfordville, non-air conditioned space down there. So they probably can't get as many. They couldn't really get. He talks about a second shift, but to be honest, he can't find a second shift of workers down there. So it doesn't matter. Tallahassee, he probably could. He'd hurt the builders here because he'd be offering people air conditioned space to work as a carpenter. Full-time benefits, all those things. So I don't know if the board's receptive to that. The other thing I mentioned to him that I would be willing to run the traps on their behalf would be to go to FAMU and say, hey, look, you got some empty parcels. Would you offer that same deal if somebody wants to pay a fair market value after a couple years when they're up and running and get a building built? He just doesn't want to be in the dirt business and building business. He doesn't see that as a good use of their capital. He's happy to pay rent. The other reality, if you listen to the Talcor meetings, is this town has a massive shortage of kind of where recently built warehouse space. So if somebody wants,
yeah, and we have no light manufacturing.
That's right. So if you were to build something, I think the airport should start building. You know, the city should start building a couple of facilities like that, 20, 40, 60,000 feet, because we know there's a potential demand for it. What they got is no new product. So I think it's a relatively low risk. You'd make them do all the build out, but somebody could build a shell. They'll pay for that. They don't mind paying. But, you know, just they want it at a lease rate. That's how they want to deal with it.
And who's running that?
Tom Hance is his name. Okay. He's been in the TKE guy. He's been in the elevator business, been a manufacturing guy. He's also been a buyout guy, buying and selling companies. So somewhere down the line, he's
died real young.
Yeah, Bobby did. Bobby Beneke.
Beneke, that's right.
Yeah, the other thing from a legislative perspective, just to, would be requesting money for pad ready prep, which might work really well on Eisenhower.
Yeah, we could do it on Eisenhower. You know, but again, that's going to be, now we're wading into things. What is the board, do we want to pursue long-term solutions? I mean, our job is to utilize these assets for the economic development of this market, and until somebody says otherwise, I'm not just you know, dismissing those kinds of opportunities.
I would think you should pursue that.
I mean, I've got Keith Bowers involved, I've gotten Sue Dick involved, I've gotten a bunch of folks involved trying to figure out, and, you know, he's getting offers of $5 million, if you will, from, you know, Wakulla County, but I said, guys, they're like, we can't compete with that. I said, we don't have to. He called us. He doesn't want to stay there.
Yeah.
You know, they can't give him I-10. They can't give him the innovation park. Yeah. They can't give him the airport. Yeah. They can't give him those things. And he wants to consolidate Cairo and Crawford.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Let's push it hard.
So we'll see.
That's, I'm not connected. I was going to try and get on the Leon Property Appraiser's website and see what the, do we know what the current zoning of the Eisenhower piece is? I'll look it up.
Yeah, we did know, but I can't remember right now.
I think
it's probably pretty wide open.
Yeah, you've got manufacturing right next door. You got somebody next door doing something, but I don't know what this is actual language
is. It's just off of Orange.
We ought to be looking at that. If we need to work on a zoning amendment, we ought to be working on that. Probably should send somebody out to do a phase one site assessment.
We did that.
That's right. Did it come back clean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, to get out there and do some preliminary geotech, whatever we need to do in order to understand that site, so that if somebody like Residential Elevators wanted to build, we knew how to.
Right. No, we're doing it. We're not giving up anything. We're going to say, hey, we'll do it for free. It's free. It doesn't cut. You know, we don't get anything off of it now. But if somebody wants to use it. It seems like a just purpose for us to say, look, we'll give you time to build and we'll charge you a penny until it's up and running. I mean, remember, we own the dirt then.
And actually, they'll do that. They'll do that during their due diligence. If we put out an offer for a ground lease to them, they'll do the inspection.
And I talked to John McNeil about, he thought he could get somebody, he said he could probably get some private guys to build a building like that with a long-term lease. But they can't, but it, you know, they're not Walmart, but the reality is I think vacating that space has still got a ton of value given the location and the fact that it would be brand new.
And how many square feet do they want?
He says 100, but I think he'd like to start with like 40 or 60, and so you do something a little bit like what they throw up here for the Danfoss building, you know, just big high ceiling, you know, modular work. It goes up fast, and it's versatile. So we'll see. Anyway, yep. Just wanted to bring those up to you. But that would be a role the RDA could play. He's also quarterbacking it with FAMU. I think you got to take a delivered deal to them.
So. Can FAMU put it on this facility, this site, if there's no research involved? I was somewhere, I had in my mind that anything going on this process has to have research involved.
We'd have to get some approvals if we did that. But I don't know if we could build 100,000 square feet and have what they need, which is the ability to bring trucks in and out easily. I mean, those sites, they're big, but they're not real wide.
Right.
They're,
the only
one is really this one.
Is these two lots.
Yeah.
Down the end of cul-de-sac.
Probably.
You got
low spots there. But anyway, I'm just trying to be in the game, if possible, for our town, frankly. Much less focused on the park as much as I am just, you know, this is a company we don't want to lose to Jacksonville or somewhere else.
Yeah.
We don't have to.
And to your point, would our design covenants restrictions apply to the Eisenhower site? I don't know that they do.
It's not part of it. But it does have a limitation. Remember, that was a trade with the county, so it had to be for a public purpose or a public good. Now, I think arguing creating jobs.
Economic development, absolutely.
But yeah, the park would be a little different.
We do a lot.
And remember, they got 10 engineers. I mean, they are doing research, innovating, making the motors quieter. There's plenty of research and innovation in elevators. They can install it in any house in 2 days, two guys. Wow. It's got what they call the hoistway built. And they go in, two guys, their own guys. They don't outsource any of that. They 2 days, up to five stories. Alice Beach, every one of those places being built, has got one of their elevators in it. But they're doing Texas, they're doing the East Coast.
All right, so.
We used them on a couple of beach houses. Yep. They did a good job.
Something then for us to think about, the state doing appropriations has money that they designate as land acquisition. So if what we wanted to do, one of the ways that we think about what the go forward looks like, if we start thinking about acquiring land, if there's a source of money, that might be a huge stretch, but for the purpose of entitling property and preparing it for sites that are shovel-ready economic development.
And that's in our charter. You know, we're allowed to buy, sell, trade, lease, develop property to drive economic development and advance research.
So we do a ton of ground leases. If you get down the road, that can help a lot with that.
So we'll see. Like I said, I've engaged OEB and Sue and just some other folks. It's going to be a community thing.
And I've said this, you probably hear, one of the critical needs is for graduation space, because as soon as they spin up here, they got no place to go if they leave here.
And Eisenhower is what?
18
acres.
Yeah.
Cool. That would be sweet.
And it's a relatively big square,
and
rectangular
it's
property.
Pretty flat, except for where they
way back
mining.
Not much change in elevation.
In the back, it dips down.
Yeah, they took some.
There's a bar up there.
Years ago, but it's not as bad as it was.
But they replaced all most of that dirt too. So that was why we did the phase one. So that was all I had.
Okay.
If we get serious about graduation space, and I'm thinking that's something we ought to be thinking about. What would that look like, and what would we need to facilitate it?
Payroll money and aggressive funding sources, right?
Or putting together a P3 to de-risk it for development. And then I think, and Michael alluded to it, there are a couple different types. One would just be warehouse space, and there's that, you know, for light manufacturing. Which would be far less expensive than biotechnology graduation space.
I mean, that's a two-step consideration when you talk about what we want to be and do, right? When you talk about this organization. One is there's got to be money to fund payroll to do those things. Yep. And if we've chosen to do those things, in addition to payroll, you've got to have money to actually do the thing
right. yeah.
that you're trying to fund your payroll for. So, and if we end the year at 1.5, that is a finite runway, guys. Inside yeah. of 24 months, for sure, we're out of dough. Yeah. Okay, I mean, remember, to get that, I can make assumptions on transfer the lab, but there's still cost to operate and payroll, and we can skinny back, and if you skinny way back on the payroll, that's great, which might be a reason, it's hard to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And you may have the wrong talent to do some of things. That's certainly not my expertise. Appropriations, development, building, that's not my space, right? So.
Okay. Any other comments for the good of the order?
I do have another thing, and I hope this is the last time I bring up the plaque. But he proposed a 16 by 24 for $1,820. Is 16 by 24 too big? Do we cut it down smaller?
The conversation from the board was to go forward and do good things, so.
Whatever you think.
Yeah,
Culpepper and each of those guys agreed to cover the tab, so yeah. I'm good with whatever.
Thumbs up then.
Good.
All right, meeting is adjourned.
Thank y'all.
Have 2 minutes and we'll do IPTLH, okay?
Yep.
We got that. You guys are welcome to stay.
My stomach's, actually, Amy's stomach's growling, it's not mine.
What's that?